Well, good morning. Lovely to be with you this morning. Thanks for the welcome along to Lisburn. It's good to be back with you. And we appreciate also your prayers for us as a family and for the work of Northern Region over the last number of years as well. Do thank you for that. Tonight I'm going to share a little bit about work with Northern Region, the link with Craigavon and Baptist Church as well. Just take a moment tonight just to bring up to date what's going on with that. We're going to read together this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first seven verses this morning. Then we're going to read the next little section tonight. We're going to follow on tonight in 2 Timothy as well. But this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and those first seven verses. And as we do so, really, I suppose that the one thing I want you to take away from this morning is really to encourage you to work hard at depending on God's grace. To work hard at depending on God's grace. I always think for a sermon, you need to be able to say what you're going to say in one sentence, and that's the one sentence that you want you to take away. Work hard at depending on God's grace. Let's read God's word together. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trusted to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's just pause to pray. Lord, we ask for your help as we consider your word. We pray that you would speak to us. Pray that you would be with both speaker and listener alike, your Holy Spirit at work in us. We pray that in everything, as we just study your word together, that it would be applied to each of our hearts. Not just that we would hear, but we would be those who are changed by your word. Do that work of grace, that eternal work in each one of us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The picture I want you to have in your head this morning as we read these words is of an aging father. And he's writing to his son. He spent some time with him. He's worked with him over many years. He's taught him many things. He's encouraged him in many things. He spoke to him about the things of God. He's encouraged him to mature as a young man. He's encouraged him to go on in his faith and to go on in Christian service. Won't that you have that picture of this aging man writing to his son? And his heart is breaking for his son. If you read chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, you realize there that Paul has a few little concerns about Timothy. Of course, Timothy is not his physical son, he's his spiritual son. But he has a few concerns, and he really wants to encourage him to keep going on in his faith. He doesn't want him to give up. Others have given up, but not Timothy. Timothy, he said, I want you to keep on going. Be strong. Be strengthened. And Paul's mindset, I think, as he writes this, is that, Timothy, you have had every opportunity to go on and mature in your faith. He says, I've spent time with you. I've taught you. I've worked, you know, alongside you. You have no excuse. But, of course, that's not the main reason why Timothy should go on in his faith. There's an even more important reason. And it's the fact that not only that Paul is a father-like figure to him, but actually that more importantly that God is a father who loves him in a way that not even Paul loved Timothy, who loves in a way that is eternal. And actually, Timothy has no excuse to keep on going because of that loving father, a powerful savior, a gospel that has impacted his life, that has changed his life, that he's, chapter 1 again, he's guarded by the gospel, he's kept by the gospel, and therefore he has a responsibility to pass the gospel on. to others. Paul has said earlier, Timothy, I want you to fan into flame the gift that is in you. Keep on going. And this morning, I simply want to encourage you to do the same. And the first thing I want you to see as Paul writes to Timothy is this, that we need to be strengthened by the grace of God, verse 1. To recognize, as Paul writes to Timothy, there is a father who is gracious, a father who loves you, a father who delights in teaching you, a father who is able to strengthen you because he is powerful, he is mighty. There's a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ who saved you by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit has been put in your life, sealing your salvation. You are strengthened. You can grow as a believer because of the work that God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Therefore, you need to realize this morning that there actually is no excuse why you can't go on to maturity in your Christian walk because of the work of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that term that we have here in verse 1 says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus." That term strengthened there is written in the Greek in the passive tense, meaning it is not something that we do, but it's something that God does in us and for us. And what that means very practically is this. Because God does that work in us, that we spend a lot of our time as believers, at least we ought to, acknowledging that in our weakness we need one who is powerful to work in our life. And that means we're praying, God, I'm weak, but you're powerful, keep me. We spend a lot of time praying, God, forgive me, I sin. Therefore we come repenting regularly. Martin Luther puts it this way, the mark of a genuine believer is someone who repents regularly in the presence of God. Because they recognize our need of God, need of God's grace. We pray a lot for God to strengthen us, to protect us as we fight temptation. Seeking his truth, his righteousness, the gospel of peace, the faith, his salvation. What I'm describing there actually is the armor of God. Go back to Ephesians 6, where Paul says, put on the armor of God. And it's not some sort of mystical type of thing that sometimes we imagine it to be. It's not, because Paul talks about put on the armor of God. Sometimes he talks about putting on Jesus Christ. Sometimes he talks about putting on righteousness. What he's simply saying to us is, look, the gospel, the work of God, the strength of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, keeps you, strengthens you, does what you cannot do for yourself. We need to work hard at depending on God because he strengthens you by his grace. John MacArthur tells a story in his commentary on 2 Timothy of some engineers in New Jersey. They're building a bridge over a mouth of the river. And as they're piling some piles into the riverbed, they discovered that one of them wouldn't go down. And actually, it was hitting the hull of a ship that had sunk many, many years before. The engineers had worked really hard. They got all the lifting gear they could find, everything they put together to try and lift this hull out of the way, but they couldn't get it moved. So finally, one young engineer, just out of college, came along and he said, "Why don't we try this?" And he suggested what they do was to get a number of barges and at low tide, attach with steel ropes the barges to the hull of the ship. And as the tide rise, just allow it to do its job. And when the tide fell again the next day, they would then just tighten those steel ropes. And over a period of a number of days, as the tide moved up and down, just tightening the ropes little by little, began to shift the hull of the ship. And after those several cycles of tides, MacArthur writes, says, what human mechanical devices and forces could not do, the immeasurable greater force of nature accomplished. And then he goes on to say, what each one of us, humanly speaking, as Christians, trying to go on to maturity, fail to do. God, by his grace, is able to accomplish in our life. When I say many Christians are embedded in this world, trying every human device somehow to make themselves to a better person. Yes, we know we're saved by grace, but when it comes to living our life, we sometimes forget that it's God also who equips us, enables us to do that as well. And we try everything. We try every way to increase our passion for God, every way to get our emotions going in our worship of God. We try everything, humanly speaking, and we seem to get nowhere spiritually fast. What we need to realize is that it's God who strengthens. And we depend upon his grace. And realize your Heavenly Father can accomplish in your life more than you've even begun to imagine. He can accomplish it by the power of his Spirit. And so I encourage you this morning to work hard at depending upon God's grace. Let me secondly move on, as Paul speaks to Timothy here, to also encourage you to be strengthened, not just by the grace of God, but secondly, strengthened by the Word of God as you teach others. I want to say, don't wait until you think you've got, you know, all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed before you start to share the Word of God with those around you. Paul writes here, and he says to Timothy, he says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And Paul is encouraging Timothy, who's struggling, who's timid in his faith, chapter 1, verse 7, to keep on going in his teaching and the strengthening of others. And as he does that, he also will be strengthened and encouraged in his faith. I mean, the one thing I hear in many churches when it comes to sharing our faith is that actually, you know what, I don't feel equipped to do it. When the reality is that, you know, even if you're saved for just a short time, you have a testimony to share, you know what God did in your life, you know who Jesus Christ is, you know, he died and rose again. If nothing else, you can at least share that. And I want to talk sort of generally, first of all, because actually, as we talk generally, I want to bring it then down to specifically what Paul is referring to here. But in general terms, I want to say to each one of you, we're all called at some level through the Great Commission to go into the world and to preach the gospel, to share the message of life, the message of truth with those that we come in contact with. And when it comes to that, on-the-job training works best. Get out there and we share of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our life. As a saved person, we grow and teach. And as we teach, we grow more. Because we learn more than actually the other person does as we seek to share our faith. And then as we teach, we grow and we keep on teaching and we grow more. And that's what Paul would have Timothy do, and as he does so then to encourage others to do the same and to bring folk around to mature them in their walk with God. There's nothing more encouraging than to take time. Maybe as someone who's been walking with God for some time, as a man, to take a younger man alongside and say, "Look, let me spend time with you and teach you the Word of God. Let me take you out, you know, and as we share our faith, maybe in the doors that you come alongside, you learn." Take a young man and, you know, just as we encourage them maybe to take part in the youth or to share with the boys and girls and do that and just to encourage them and to develop in them just that ability to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. As you do so, notice the gospel here is passed on within community, within church. I mean, Paul says, what I shared with you, I did with all the people listening on. It's not necessarily that it only has to take place in a church building. That's not the point. The point here, it takes place where there are other mature, godly men around who can actually come alongside and encourage and give advice, and who you're accountable to, who are there alongside to say, "Look, yes, I would encourage you to do it this way rather than this way." Who would say, "Look, you know, can let's have a frank conversation about your walk with God, about where you are, and ask you hard questions at times about your relationship with God that encourage you in your walk, but also in your ministry and your service. And that's the picture that you have here. And as I say, in general terms, all of us are called to proclaim the gospel to those that we come in contact with those supporting us from the local church. But however, specifically and distinctly here, what we have here is also a call for those into full-time ministry as well. They have the responsibility on a regular basis to teach the Word of God. Responsibility on a regular basis to mature and to work alongside those who are going to be, if you like, the next generation of pastors, teachers, missionaries, evangelists that are coming along. And that's what Timothy specifically here has been called to do. The baton of ministry is going to be handed over to him. Now, Paul's in prison. Paul is going to very shortly be executed for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy will be left by himself. The baton is being handed over. And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to hand the baton over to others as well. Once Paul is gone, the gospel doesn't finish. Mission doesn't finish. Because Paul's not responsible for mission. God is. God's the God of mission, not Paul. Timothy, when he goes, mission doesn't finish. Evangelism doesn't finish because it doesn't lie on his shoulders either. It's just for that short time because God's the one who's over all. And generation after generation, we must pass on. What we want is faithful men called by God who are faithful to Jesus, who are faithful to live by God's grace, who are faithful to the church, who are faithful to the Bible as the final authority of the Word of God, who are gifted teachers, who are men of God, called to serve God. You know what? Some men enjoy teaching, preaching. They like being at the front, may even be gifted, but they're not the men that Paul's referring to here. There may be others who are very faithful, who are very committed to church life, who are wonderful, godly men. But when they speak, nobody really understands what they're trying to say. They're not gifted to preach. They're not the men he's talking about here either. What are we referring to here? We're looking for men who are committed to Jesus and the church, who love Jesus, who are faithful to attend the church service, showing a level of commitment that cannot be questioned. We're looking for people who love the Bible, who understand doctrine, who understand theology, who teach plainly, not trying to impress others, because their heart is that Jesus Christ would be glorified, not them. Men who are filled by the Holy Spirit of God, we're looking for mature men. That's the call here, to raise up men like that. And the challenge here is that God would do a work in hearts and lives and bring men to that place where they realize God is talking to me. Not because I'm able, but I'm strengthened by the grace of God. Not because I necessarily desire that role, but because there's nothing else I would do, because the gospel is everything. Eternity is everything. There is nothing else that men and women need to hear more than the truth of his word. That passion in their hearts. And if God is calling you, realize that the task here is incredible. I mean, 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us to triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, which is tremendous. But also among those who are perishing, to one the fragrance of death to death, and to other the fragrance from life to life. And Paul, he says, who is sufficient for such? You know what? It's a fearful task. But I do pray that as we lay that call before you, that perhaps even this morning God would speak to some. I call you to serve him in the full-time way that Timothy is called here. So we were called to be strengthened by the grace of God. Work hard at depending on God and his grace. We're called to be strengthened by the word of God as we teach others. That we grow into maturity and so that we mature others as we teach. And thirdly, finally, we have here this call to work hard at depending on God. Verse 3 down to verse 7. And really, what Paul is saying to Timothy here is that he says that there are two things. God works in you, but he says you've got to really work really hard as well. At first, they seem to be poles apart. They seem to be this tension between those two statements. And what we want to do is to bring them together, because actually they fit together. You know, God's going to work hard for you, going to do everything for your salvation, to keep you, to hold you for all of eternity. And because he does that, therefore, you can work hard. You can work hard in him. And he takes a couple of illustrations here. There's three illustrations that he used. One is the soldier, one is the athlete, one is the farmer. Let me very quickly just work through his illustrations for you. He says, look, you want to learn what it is to work hard depending upon God? He says, think firstly of the soldier. The soldier's goal is to please his commander. He relies on his commander for everything. He doesn't decide things for himself. He obeys. That's the key. He obeys. And so when he sees the civilian lifestyle, he gives that up. He's not looking for pleasure. He's not looking for, you know, an easy life. He obeys the commander, puts all those other things aside. He knows that it's warfare. You know, it's a battlefield out there. He's under attack from the enemy, but he knows his commander in chief, God, is the one who will keep him right. He will guide, he will lead. And so there's that absolute obedience. He takes his eyes off the comforts of the world, the passion, the pleasure, the possessions, the power of this world. He rejects them because he knows that in God he is absolute secure. And there's that absolute obedience in God. Doesn't mean that sometimes things happen that we ask questions why. But when those why answers don't come, we have one thing that remains unchanged. God is still in control. We obey him. And so we find ourselves in that place as we read the word of God, we apply the word of God to our life in obedience to him as a soldier pleases his commander. The second example is that of an athlete who runs by the rules. For Paul, as he writes this, he's thinking of the Greek games, and you know, for the rules for them was very simple. Number one was you had to be a born Greek. Number two, you had to train for 10 months. And number three, you had to complete the right course, the start, right through to the finish line. If you finished the race, you won the prize. Very simple rules. And as a believer, we're called to do the same. We've got to be born into the family of God. Rule number one, be saved by the grace of God. As we're saved, we've got to work hard at obedience and living the way God would have us live, by his grace. And we keep on going, we keep on enduring to the end, knowing that he's the one who ultimately keeps us for all of eternity. And again, you need that picture in your mind of that endurance of keeping going. My brother, twin brother Keith, I think back about 30 odd years ago, and we were schooled together, and we used to run the 1500 meters and 800 meters at the race we usually ran at that stage. And I remember one occasion us starting together to run 1500 meters, did a couple of laps around the running track, and we came to a bend, and he just ran straight and sat down by the side of the track. That was it. He sat there. After the race was over, I remember going to him and said, "Keith, what happened to you?" He said, "You didn't finish." And he goes, "I got tired. So I thought I'd just keep going straight and sit down." That was it. Fast forward a few years. Last year, I went down to Belfast and watched my brother Keith run for 24 hours. Ran over 100 miles, round a course, 24 hours, over 100 miles. What is the difference? The difference, well, it was this, that he started, he trained really hard for months upon months on end, and he kept going right to the end. He needed fuel for his body, he needed energy for his body as he ran, and I mean, if he didn't eat, he struggled, and so on. He needed all of those things as he ran. That's the picture here that you want to get. You know what, for all of us as we run God's race, saved by his grace, with the starting point, we're in the middle point now. There will be a finish, and you know the wonderful message of the scripture is that God will bring us to heaven. Our salvation is secure in him. This in-between point, what are we doing now? We're putting in the effort. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult. That's why we need to keep on persevering and going. To work hard as an athlete. To run by the rules as an athlete. To hear the word of God. Apply it to our lives day by day. And then the third example is that of the farmer, a hardworking farmer, who completely dependent upon God. And he plants his barley. And how does the barley grow? Well, to germinate a seed, well, he can't make it germinate. He can plant it in the ground. Might even water it if he needs to, but generally the rain waters it. The nutrition from the soil it and the water makes it germinate. What we're saying here is actually God causes the germination. God makes it grow. The farmer actually can't make it grow. But knowing he can't make it grow, what does he do? He doesn't lie in his bed and say to God, "God, you know, the seeds are in the shed up top of the yard. The John Deere tractor's parked round the back. If you wouldn't mind sorting that out for me." He doesn't pray that way. No, he gets out, he plows, he plants, he fertilizes, he does all the hard work, he keeps on going, he keeps caring for and watching the crop as it grows and spraying it when he needs to spray it. He does everything that needs to be done, knowing that he cannot make it grow, but knowing this, that God can. And as we begin to think about our lives, I think sometimes Christians don't do that. Sometimes we're like a farmer who lies in his bed and says, "The field's out there, God, you sort it out." You know, sometimes we need to stop and, you know, realize that we're saying to God, "God, I want to mature my Christian life. I want to see growth in my Christian life. But I'm too tired to open your words. Too tired to go to church. Too tired to study the word of God. I'm too tired to fellowship. I know there's sins in my life. I know the things that I do that are wrong. But I'll be around with my neighbor, fixing everybody else's problems, gossiping. You sort me out." And God actually is saying to each one of us, you've got to take some responsibility for your walk with God. Just as a farmer takes responsibility for planting and for working the ground, knowing that he can't make growth happen. We must do the same as believers. The take that responsibility. To put it delicately, get out of your bed, weed out the sin in your life, because you have a gracious God who forgives, who cleanses, and who strengthens you, and who will do a work in your life. You know, it's easy to give advice to others. And sometimes we need to pause and say, God, give me the strength to work hard at depending upon your grace. I need you. As I finish, let me say that it's very interesting as you read verse 7. I mean, have a look at it there. I mean, what's Paul saying here in all of this is, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. What was he saying to Timothy? He's saying, look, actually, you know, work hard, you, because God is strengthening you. He says, it's going to take me a while to get your head around this, he says, Timothy. He says, think it through. Allow it to think, just filter into your life. And what I say to you, you know, this morning as you read the word of God here, think over what God says to you. He will give you understanding. What that means for you is, in a very practical way, as I finish, can I say, what does it mean for you as an individual this morning to work hard at depending upon God's grace? You know, for some, it may mean, you know, starting to attend the prayer meeting. I want to meet with other believers. I want the word of God to impact my life. I want a change. So I'm going to put a bit of effort in. One of the elders in Oconee, where I pastored for a number of years, used to always say that the people at the prayer meeting decide to be there on a Sunday, not on a Wednesday night, because they leave it to Wednesday night, they never go. It becomes a mindset, the start of the week. This is my week. This is my plan. I will be at a place where I will grow in my walk with God. I'm going to make sure, work hard at making sure I'm in that right place so that God can teach me. That's what it means for some. For some others, perhaps this morning, it means that there's an area of sin in your life that you wrestle with, that you need to repent of. Or perhaps even, as you repent of it, to come alongside a strong, mature Christian and say to them, "Here, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me? Will you pray with me regularly? Can I be accountable to you regularly over this area?" Very practical. As you think through the word of God, how do I work hard at depending upon God? And I could go on. I'm going to finish. I'm going to challenge you. Examine your life and your heart before God this morning. He would do that work in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, do you pray that you would just apply your word to our hearts. Lord, we stand before you as individuals. Lord, we have wrestled with different things. We struggle with different aspects of our walk with you, our obedience towards you, our perseverance. And we thank you that you're the one who keeps us. You're the one who holds us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that we have in him. We thank you for the table that is set that reminds us of the Lord Jesus' death, his body given, his blood shed, but also his resurrection, that we have a living Savior who is mighty, who is powerful to save us and to keep us for all of eternity. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue to strengthen us and mature us in our walk with you, that we would learn what it is to depend upon you for everything. Pray that for those who will leave us now, we pray that you would part them in your grace, mercy and truth. And Lord, for those that remain, as we just remember just that the Lord's death and resurrection, that we would know our hearts again just stirred in gratitude and love and worship of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.